He left her about 6 years ago. He's gone. Her problem's gone. She is so filled with hatred and anger and hostility. He is still the sole topic of her conversation. He's the only thing she knows to talk about. And every syllable out of her mouth is bitter, it's negative, and it's critical. Does she have a right to feel that way? Of course. What's the tragedy of it all? She's raising these 5 kids. That's what's sad about it. The oldest is a rubber stamp of his father. He's on grass and he's an alcoholic. He's an accident waiting to happen. And it perpetuates itself in these attitudes and ideas and feelings that go right down the line. It's almost overwhelming. It's almost overwhelming. And yet we keep at it. We keep at it. If you can get the alcoholic into treatment, many of us think that once the alcoholic gets into treatment, the job is done. Not at all. Family still needs treatment. And if you can't get the alcoholic into treatment, they still need help to be able to cope with life. I believe personally that what helps best for most should be tried first. For the alcoholic, AA. I am not downgrading anything. I'm not doing that at all. For God's sake, don't misquote me. Don't misquote me. What works, works. But I believe, honestly, that what works best is AA, because it is the only thing that came into being the way it came into being, and it is the only therapy that is as complete as it is. And it also has 750,000 people to show for it. If you have a theory, fine. But if you bring your theory to me, bring proof that it works. Ladies and gentlemen, what works, works. And theories don't mean anything unless they bring reality into result. You can buy the most exotic ingredients from around the world. You can cook them in the most expensive Revere where money can buy, and you can use the most expensive microwave oven made. And if the pie makes you puke, it ain't any good. It's just no good. And a moron can see that. The proof of any pudding is in the eating. So don't theorize me. We're playing with human lives. Show me what works. Show me what works. Where the clergy makes its prime mistake is in urging the alcoholic to a return to God, to praying, to pledges, and to everything else. They'd never dream of doing this with somebody with an attack of appendicitis. They, for God's sake, get to a hospital. And what am I saying, that prayer is bad for the alcoholic? By no means. It is prayer that ultimately gets him into treatment. But it is not the treatment. Does prayer help with a toothache? Of course it does, if you say it on your way to the dentist office. What right do we have to presume miracles for alcoholism? If somebody needs open heart surgery, he doesn't pray about it. He says the prayer and then gets into the hospital. If you have a tooth that's killing you, you can say a prayer, but get the drill out. Get the job done. What do we do? Let's look at it this way. I suppose every one of us in this room has at one time or another in his or her life wanted to be a doctor. I have. Now, I believe that, I'm not joking, I believe this, that if I were to pray hard enough tonight to God Almighty to make me a doctor, functioning doctor, by tomorrow morning, he would, if he so chose. But I equally believe this. If I were to get on my knees tonight and in all sincerity say, "Dear Lord, please make me a doctor," he'd say, "Fine, go to med school." Ladies and gentlemen, the proof of any pudding is in the eating. We know what works. AA quite simply works. Try it. For families, Al-Anon and Al-Ateen, I believe that everything else is number one, perhaps necessary, but number two, secondary. Religion, psychology, psychiatry, family counseling, if it is needed. But please, ladies and gentlemen, all of these are secondary things. What we're interested in first is sobriety. Dr. Don Ottenberg of Eagleville, Pennsylvania says, "I don't care what therapy you use. You presume a sober patient." Sober. That's one. That's number one. The only thing I know of gets people sober and keeps them that way is AA. Now you can use anything you want. You know, I guess you could go on forever about families and their needs. I think we've opened up enough. Now, what I'd like to say to you now is this. I'll repeat what I said this morning, which was about 6 years ago, I think, when we started all this. These guidelines are not guaranteed to do anything. But of those things that might work, these might work best. They're based on experience. And ladies and gentlemen, when I asked you not to be discouraged, I meant that too. Just look at what can be done. There is no feeling on the face of God's earth more gratifying than to know that you have helped another person get well. I believe this firmly, that every human being is capable before he dies of saving another human life. Now, I can't prove that, I just believe it. And to know that you have actually done that can be the most gratifying feeling. It's indescribable. I would, though, as humble as I can ever get, like to share a few things with you. As a result of that film, Chalk Talk, I happen to know firsthand some cases who have gotten well as a result of seeing it. And I have heard of others. In August of last year, I had a 35-year-old sailor on Guam come up and shake my hand and say, "Thank you for saving my life." Last March, in Norfolk, Virginia, at the end of an AA meeting one night, a 22-year-old sailor came up and shook my hand, and he smiled, and he said, "I just had to touch you." And he put his arms around me, and he left because he was crying. In September, in Bedford, Massachusetts, I was having breakfast in a Denny's restaurant with a sergeant from the Air Force, and a total stranger walked up to me, introduced himself. He said, "I'm in AA." He said, "We showed your film at our house last night. My 14-year-old son came into treatment as a result." In Washington, D.C., 2 weeks ago, a 16-year-old boy said that the film had saved his life. He was sober 3 months. He had been mainlining alcohol. I'm proud of these things. I'm proud of them. My whole life and my whole priesthood is geared to what I'm doing right now. Right now. These things have happened to me. And you know, you don't buy that. But it has happened in my life. I'm simply suggesting to you that if you try, they may happen to you. The only thing different will be numbers, that's all. Some will be the occasion of helping more than others, and in a sense, that's neither here nor there. But it's the most gratifying feeling on the face of the earth, and just because of these things that have been done, I will just keep doing what I'm doing till I die. Ladies and gentlemen, you get nothing for nothing and damn little for 2 cents. You pay the price for all the goodies that come in your life. But I'd like to say this about pain and leave you with this thought. Working in the field of alcoholism, working with alcoholics, is very difficult, it is very trying, it is very discouraging, and it tends to make us a little bit unbalanced. But just remember that God Almighty gives His goodness through pain as well as through pleasure. And probably our greatest blessings have come from the various gifts of pain that He has allowed us to have. And so, with that in mind, I would just like to bring this to a close by saying to you, I therefore do not wish you joy without a sorrow, nor endless day without the healing dark, nor brilliant sun without the restful shadow, nor tides that never turn against your bark. I wish you faith and strength and love and wisdom, goods, gold enough to help some needy one. I wish you songs, but also blessed silence and God's sweet peace when every day is done. Goodbye.